This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Well, it's that wonderful time of the year. Thanksgiving's coming up, and I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. And at this time of the year, although we're living here in Clearwater, where it was 90 degrees yesterday, we don't quite have the Thanksgiving weather yet. I'm very happy that my guest today has written this wonderful book called Thankful. It is such an appropriate book to review at this time and to talk to the great author, award-winning author Eileen Spinelli. Hi, Eileen, are you there?
Yes, Patsy. Hi, it's nice to talk to you.
Well, I'm so happy to talk to you. I love your book. All of your books are great, but Thankful, it has to be, and I'm sure will become one of the favorites of all children, because it is delightful. Yeah, I just, it's one of those books where you will never be sorry to hear a kid say, read it again, because it's, we can read it over and over. It's just, you have written such a lovely little book that has so much charm, and I think it's just delightful.
Well, I love the illustrations.
Oh, they are beautiful.
Archie Preston did the artwork, and when I saw the book, I was just overjoyed because they have such a tender, enduring quality to them.
They work beautifully with your words. He obviously a very, very clever illustrator, and of course you have a great publisher in Zonder Kids. They have
absolutely
such high quality work.
Right. They're great to work with.
Well, every time I get one of their books, I'm just thrilled because they are always such top quality. And, of course, they have the best writers, and you among them.
Thank you.
I know you've won so many awards. I love your name, by the way. My favorite aunt was named Eileen. And it's not a name that you hear very often anymore, but I think it's such a nice name. Now, I know, of course, you're an award-winning author, and of course your husband's an award-winning author.
He is. He's out for a walk right now.
I was thinking after, I don't know why I didn't have both of you on, because I'll have to have him another day.
Right.
Give up some of his secrets, because he has written some amazing things.
He is a wonderful writer.
He is. And I know he's inspired you, and, well, I think just about everything inspires you. You're the kind who you see something and that other people might overlook, and you can just make a little poem out of it or a book out of it. It's amazing.
Well, I do. I have my moments, Patsy, when I don't have an idea in my head. and that can be a scary time, but I do keep a notebook, so that's helpful. And sometimes you just need a break, and so I do other things like read or I'll go for a walk or watch an old movie or hang out with the grandkids. But, I wish I had one idea after another. It might seem like I do because I've been writing a long time. But sometimes I don't have an idea, and that can be a discouraging time.
But as you said, you take a walk, you look around.
Right.
And there's, I tell people that, you know, if Kafka could write about a cockroach,
right.
Anybody could. You could always find something to write about, right?
Right. And so, sometimes it's helpful if an editor asks for something, or someone says, "Gee, do you have a book about Christmas or Thanksgiving or Halloween?" And then that gives you a little springboard to bounce from.
Of course, Thankful is ideal for Thanksgiving, but I think it's a year-round book, because
I hope so.
It really is. It's so beautifully written, with such simple rhymes, and yet they're unusual. They're not expected, and
right.
So it's sort of the unexpected that pops out at you and makes it so amusing, and so really it's a heartwarming book.
Well, thank you. It's tricky to write a rhyming book because it reads, or it should read, so, you know, it should flow, and so it sounds easy because it's easy to read, but actually, for me, it's the most challenging thing I do is when I do a picture book in verse. It's very, very difficult. You can't, you know, you need to avoid a forced rhyme. You need to not have your rhyme so predictable, or to use a cliche like cat and mat. And so sometimes it takes even a whole afternoon to come up with one couplet that flows. So the rhyming picture books are difficult to write, even though they feel easy to read.
Yeah, now you've been writing for a lot of years.
A lot of years.
A lot of years. I don't know. Were you ever rejected in the beginning?
Oh, I'm still rejected.
No.
Absolutely. It comes with the territory. Like if you're a carpenter, you're going to bang your thumb with a hammer. If you're a writer, you're going to be rejected. And not as often as I was, but definitely, you know, the rejections come to everyone.
And that's what I was just at a writer's meeting yesterday, and we were talking about it. And I said, well, you know, that exactly what you said. It comes, and you just have mm-hmm. to keep going.
Right, right. So, it's the perseverance that gets you past that. I think if I had stopped writing after my 100th rejection, then a lot of the books I've written wouldn't have been done. You just keep going. I think one thing that helps that is there's a quote that I love, and I have it on my desk. I don't know who said it, but it's really wise, and it says, bring love, not ambition, to your work.
Oh, and that's great.
Isn't that great? Because, you know, if ambition comes last, but if you bring love to your work, I just think magic happens in a way that it doesn't when you're trying to figure out the trend and what's popular and what people want. I think if you bring love to your work and just simply write what you love, love what you're doing, love your reader, love, you know, be gentle with yourself when you're working, I think good things happen.
Well, in this book where you, as I said, you come out with unusual
mm-hmm.
people to be who are
right.
thankful for things,
because right.
because it is important that children see that there are all types of people and all sorts of things to be thankful for.
Right, right. And not only thankful to God for all the blessings, but thankful to one another. And I think we don't articulate that as much as we might, how often we're pleased about something or grateful that someone did something for us, something very simple, and we don't say the thank you, but I think we all appreciate hearing that something we've done has pleased someone or helped someone. And I think it's a good idea to remember to articulate that, especially in the world today, you know, to tell people how grateful we are for the things they do for us.
And for simple things, it's wonderful.
Right.
I love the line, the waitress is thankful for comfortable shoes.
Just, I was a waitress, so I know that first.
So was I. So I remember that feeling. And when you are doing something like that, when you're a waitress or whatever, you do sort of hone in on that one thing that really
right.
keeps you going all day.
It's hard to deliver mail or a tray of food if your feet hurt.
Well, in some ways, it reminds me of I was talking, I interviewed long ago our new poet laureate, Juan mm-hmm. Felipe Herrera, and he was talking about being thankful for so many things. And of course, one of the mm-hmm. things he was most thankful for was he had a wonderful third grade teacher who inspired him. And of
right.
course, his mother, who was a storyteller and who told him stories all the time. So mm-hmm. he was thankful that she told him the stories. And then when he got to school, although, you know, he's Chicano, and there were all those problems in those days with,
right.
you know, being a Chicano student, he got to school, and there he had a third grade teacher who inspired him to write these stories that his mother's been telling him, to not forget them, to, you know, keep them alive. And so something like that, how wonderful one person or one book can have such an effect on a person. And I really like that idea of being thankful. And I know that I told him that I had a third grade teacher for whom I was not thankful because I'm left-handed, and she didn't believe in left-handedness.
Right.
And so she made me sit on my left hand for the first 2 months of my third grade semester. So it's important. It's important to find those things that one can be thankful for.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. So when were you as a child? Now, what was there a teacher who inspired you? Did you write young, or did you only start writing when you met your wonderful husband?
No, I started writing when I was 6 years old. And actually, I have someone to be thankful for. It was a librarian at our town library. Her name was Miss Armstrong. And on Saturdays, because we didn't have school libraries, I would go to the library. And we were allowed to choose 10 books, which was amazing to me, because in those days, my parents could not afford to buy books for me, except the little 25-cent golden books. So this librarian was just so loving. She would look for books for me during the week and encourage me to read, and that's how I came to love words and books, and decided then when I was 6 that I wanted to become a writer.
Well, isn't that amazing when somebody does that for another person?
Right. She doesn't know, because I grew up and we moved away, and I've asked around locally if anybody remembers Miss Armstrong, because I would love for her to know. But she doesn't need to know. She did it, and I remember her with great fondness. And sometimes we don't know the effect we have on people, but
it's important to plant that seed. Well, as a matter of fact, it was amazing. Juan Felipe Herrera told me that when he was notified that he had been selected U.S. Poet Laureate, he just took that office in September. He called his teacher, who is still alive.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And now is 92 years old.
Oh, wonderful.
And I thought, how amazing it must be for her to know that, you know, to live that long and to be able to live long enough to see one of her students become the Poet Laureate.
Yes. So that's absolutely, and lovely that he made that call.
Oh yeah, so he was so thrilled to be able to talk to her and involve her in the process too.
It was a
wonderful. Well, it showed, of course, what a wonderful person he is.
Absolutely.
So I think your books will have an effect on children. I think they will.
I hope so.
Will remember them. I find there's a lot of. Well, it's not just, you know, goodness and hope and encouragement in all of your books. I've had a chance to, you know, read quite a few of them. And I think you have that sort of runs through you of wanting to encourage and offer hope and goodness. So that's a nice theme.
Well, it is. I don't want to preach, but I hope that my, you know, what I care about in life, I hope that comes through to the readers, children and adults. Sometimes I think we think picture books are just for kids, but actually, I think I love picture books. I think they're for all ages, and I think, you know, each one is a small literary experience, and you know, and. And they're short, so we can enjoy them, you know, while the tea is boiling or while we're waiting for the cookies to be done in the oven. I think the art, the illustrations in these books are amazing. And I think, you know, I think they're for all ages, really.
Well, I agree, because as I said, it's the kind of book that I could read over and over and over myself. It's just every time I pick it up, I think, oh, I see another sort of, well, the illustrations are so full. So, you know,
right.
You can look at them many, many times. So I think that
it's, and they make you smile, and don't we need smiles?
Definitely. I can.
Right. Yes.
Something, you know, that we all need now. Mm-hmm. Are you working on other books right now, picture books?
I do have a book I'm working on. It's a novel in verse, but alas, I haven't been working the last week because I'm focusing on, I'm in charge of desserts for Thanksgiving. So my focus, so the book is sitting on my table in my office, and I'm generally in the kitchen baking, but I'll get back to it.
Well, what kind of weather do you have up there?
We have beautiful weather. It's Indian summer. We're in Pennsylvania, and it's going to be in the 60s, and the leaves are almost all down. It's just gorgeous weather.
Well, we're hoping for a little cold front to come in, because yesterday it was 90 degrees here, and I'm in charge.
Feel like November to me.
I'm in charge of all the cooking, and so you know, I think, you know, it's funny. I think, how am I going to keep that oven on all week long?
Right,
it's 90 degrees.
My dear, maybe it will change in the next week or so.
Well, of course, you've got a big audience there for your books, right?
Do you mean in my family?
Yes, in your family.
We do. We have 27 grandchildren. That includes 5 great.
Wow. So I'm sure they enjoy having you read aloud to them?
The younger ones do, and then the older ones read aloud to their children. So, yes, we do have a big audience. I just did a signing at a local bookstore, and our granddaughter Lulu, who's 5, was sitting next to me watching me sign my books, and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm signing my name." She said, "I can sign my name, L-U-L-U." So maybe she'll become a writer.
Well, absolutely. I think if I was there, I would have asked for her autograph, because she sounds like she's going to be an up-and-coming writer. So do you, you know, what's your advice for writers other than just stick to it? I mean, is there a specific, when you write a book, a children's book, and you present it to the, who do you present it to? The publisher?
To an editor.
And, I can't imagine anyone editing your.
Absolutely. And I need an editor, because it's an editor just makes the book so much better, really, just with suggestions. And I mean, my books would not be near as good without an editor. A good editor is a gem. So yes, I do need an editor.
You do need an editor. And do you like to do book tours?
No.
No?
I'll tell you why. When I'm kind of a kind of an introvert and a little quiet kind of a person, and my idea of becoming a writer was that I would sit in a little cabin and drink tea and write. And now that I'm older, I'm not as nervous about talking, as you can see, or meeting people. But it was scary, because my nature is not to be marketing or pushing my books. My nature is to just sit somewhere quiet and write. And so I have to pull this little piece of myself that's more outgoing in order to do book tours and visits like that. And you can imagine how busy I am with my grandkids. And for me, at this stage of life, that kind of takes precedence. But I do know that young writers today do need to get out and help market their book.
Oh, they do. They do. It's a different business now. That
it is.
They need to have a writer's platform, and they need to do all of this. You need to do Facebook, and you need to do
right. And I'm past that. I have a website, which is exciting for me. But I wouldn't have known how to do it. But it's different today, and so I think people do need to get out and talk about their work and everything. And I know that the publishers appreciate that because, you know, it's hard to sell books.
And what is your website?
It's Eileen Spinelli, all run together, .com.
Okay, so people can go there and find
Absolutely.
Out more about what are
yes.
you putting up on your website?
Well, my website manager, Kathy Timmon, handles that. So she puts things up. I have a poem every month. There's writing tips. She does a great job for me. And also a contact information, so you can contact me on my website.
Okay, well, that's great to know. And mm-hmm. I know that, you know, for new writers, as I was mentioning yesterday, I was at a writer's meeting, and there were quite a few young women who have written children's books, and mm-hmm. They have to now go through this whole process of
right.
trying to find an agent, and
right.
It's not easy.
No, it isn't today. It's not easy. It's almost as difficult to find an agent as it is to get a book published.
Exactly.
Right. Sometimes it helps to think out of the box a little, you know, to think about ways of doing things just a little different.
Well, that's good advice, because it's not an easy thing for young writers to sort of break
no.
through.
And right.
if they are lucky enough to with their children's books to find an agent mm-hmm. and then to get published, certainly by Zonderkids. Now, Zonderkids, they select your illustrator, or do you get to select your illustrator?
Oh, no, not with it's always the publisher who selects the author. I mean, the artist. I have nothing to do with that at all. And people will say to me, "Oh, you know, are you disappointed, or do you give the artist advice?" And I'm thinking, I draw stick figures. I mean, I have no advice to give to an artist. So I think what happens is the art director at the publishers and the editor get together, I'm sure, and decide who best fits, you know, the spirit of the text. And so that's why every book that I do is different, because the text is different. So, but I'm always thrilled with the artwork. I'm just amazed at the talent of the artists in the industry today. They're amazing.
Well, you certainly latched on here with Archie.
Absolutely.
This is fantastic, fantastic work, and I'm sure that it was fun when you first saw his illustrations, when they showed them to you. How excited you must have been!
I was. They're just delightful. I just love the facial expressions.
Well, he captures.
he does. He does. And as I said, you know, you just look at them and you want to smile, and just joyful.
Well, Eileen, I think it's a wonderful book. It's a book to be thankful for, and I encourage all my listeners to get thankful.
Great, because I need to shop for my grandkids.
Okay. Well, they have to go out and get this book, because
right.
it really is. It's a wonderful book, and at this time of the year, and I think at every time of the year. So, Eileen, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Patsy. You made it easy, my dear.
Okay, well, it was fun to talk to you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too.
And what's
Hope
your specialty?
You get cooler
what,
weather.
What's your favorite thing to make?
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin
and
pie.
And to eat, too.
Me too. That's
right,
what
my favorite.
And I do it from scratch.
Oh, wow.
So
I do it from a canned pumpkin.
Oh, okay.
You
well,
boil the pumpkin. Bless your heart.
Well, I just love it. I'm originally from northern Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so,
big change.
Yeah, well, big change.
Right.
And so we had wonderful Thanksgivings up there, and in the cold weather. And as I said, I hope it won't be 90 degrees for us. But just have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And thank you so much for thankful.
All right. Thank you, Patsy. And happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Tuesday on the Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network show, MVP candidate Andy Dalton looks to keep the Cincinnati Bengals undefeated. Was he able to do so against J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans? We'll break down the Monday Night Football matchup. Also, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, they all won this weekend. Will there be some shakeup in the top four? The college football playoff poll comes out Tuesday night. We'll preview that and much, much more. Afternoons 2 to 4 right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a $1 million view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Karen Rizzo. And we're going to talk today about her book, Aging in America. But first, I want to congratulate her. She's going to be starting a radio program here next week on WTAN. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Patsy. Thanks for having me.
Okay, it's great. So starting next week, you're going to be on every Tuesday at 10 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay, that's wonderful. Now, tell us all of this, your program, of course, is centered around your book, partly, about aging in America.
Well, in particular, the Karen Rizzo Show is going to be on navigating our healthcare system, mm-hmm. Really understanding, helping people understand how to choose providers, ways to protect themselves as they get older, as we all age.
Well, one of the things, you know, in your book, so you wrote this book, Aging in America, and it's called The Healthcare, How to Rescue resource guide. So your resources, one of the things you have in the book are sort of questions, and you have all the details. It's really fascinating about what to look for when you're looking for a
physician?
A physician, a health center like a nursing home, a doctor even, an insurance company. People get overwhelmed when they turn 65 on whether to be on traditional Medicare or on a Medicare Advantage / disadvantage plan, depending on the situation. And also ways to protect a loved one or themselves from fraud. There's a lot of neglect and fraud going on right now in our seniors they're being victimized with. So the whole goal was really to help families know how to make the best decisions for their loved ones.
And so your background, how you became involved in this entire project was what?
Healthcare. I've been in healthcare my entire adult career. I started managing physician offices straight out of college, and then went into marketing, which a lot of people don't understand that nursing homes and assisted living communities have marketers that serve more like case managers. So I've been 20 years, 10 years in the nursing home world, and then 10 years in the assisted living facility markets. And in that time frame, I saw a lot of injustices. I saw a lot of people not understand their options, or they'd wake up in a hospital bed and just be overwhelmed, sick. Nobody wants to be in a hospital. And then, you know, the choices they thought they were going to have sometimes weren't even available to them. So I started after having days like, did that just happen? Did I really just get into healthcare to not be able to help people? And that's when I started writing the book, was just to try to, you know, I wanted to buy something that I could give to families that says, if you were on Medicaid, this wouldn't be an issue. Or if you accessed your veterans benefits, this wouldn't be an issue. But I couldn't find anything on the market that really was practical. There was a whole bunch of books out there about my mom had Alzheimer's or the caregiving trauma that they've gone through that someone would write after they lost a loved one, but there wasn't anything that I could see that was more preventative protection. So I just started writing.
Well, you've done a great job. I like that in the book you have tip sheets, and you have even things, something that I'm sure no one ever even thought about was a physician interview form. What is that? And nobody ever interviews their physician. They walk in, and the physician, if they're lucky, you know, spends 5 minutes with them.
If you're lucky. I found that it's what you don't know about your physicians that can sometimes hurt you later. So it's a good idea. Sometimes a physician's assigned to you, but even still, you have to do your due diligence in your research. Are they board certified? Are they the medical director of a nursing home or a hospital? Are there only certain, do they have any malpractice claims going on right now that you should really know about?
Well, can you ask them that?
You can find that out on healthgrades.com. It's public record. And if you go to healthgrades.com, it's a great resource. You can put in a physician's name, and you can see it's almost like TripAdvisor for your physicians, because patients can actually log their experience at that physician's office. You can see where they trained. Did they train in this country? Did they train in India? Did they train in the Grand Cayman Islands? Where did they get their education and their training from? And then you can also see if there's any malpractice pending claims.
And so all this is available online?
Online.
Most people have no idea.
Right. And if not, you know, a lot of times a physician's not going to tell you if they're in the middle of a malpractice suit or anything like that.
I don't think so.
And the staff might not even know. But it is always a good idea to find out, are they board certified? Because board certification for a doctor has to happen every 2 years. And it's grueling, but it keeps them up to speed on all the latest medications, standard practices of medicine. Good medical management can keep you healthy and strong well into your 90s and 100s. Poor medical management can get you into a lot of trouble. So I always felt like it started with your primary care physician. They're the co-pilot of your healthcare journey. And the more you know about that doctor, who their relationships are, do they have hospital privileges? And hopefully they do, because anyone over 65 has a higher percentage of possibly having a hospital stay. So do you want a perfect stranger taking care of you when you're in the hospital, or do you want someone who knows your health history? These are the kinds of things that can create one single sickness, illness episode into a chronic problem that can change a person's future life and where they age. So that's one of the reasons why it's always good to know who are they. I mean, are they owned by an insurance company? Are they owned by a hospital? Hopefully you like that, because if they're owned by a hospital, you're going to that hospital, and hopefully you like that hospital.
So I can see it's very, very important. I, having recently had my, gone through my husband having knee surgery, I know the problems
right.
because it was his second knee surgery.
Oh, revisions are rough. Our healthcare system can be very harsh. Like you said, you're lucky if you get 3 to 5 minutes with a doctor. And then they speak a language that not a lot of people understand. They use a lot of acronyms, and they talk fast, and the nurses talk fast. And it's almost like you need a translator when you're there, uh-huh. or at least a list of questions that you should have in front of you when you get in front of them for those 3 to 5 minutes.
Well, so your book, it's called Aging in America, Navigating Our Healthcare System, is really a must-read for everybody who's going to see a doctor,
right.
or who's going to be sick, and I guess that's everybody. So
we're turning 65.
Exactly. So you have a lot here to also about Medicare and the Medicare costs, and of course this is the time of the year that people are mm-hmm. signing up or not signing up, or they don't know what to do.
Right.
So this is an ideal time for you to be talking to people.
Well, it's a great time to be talking to people. There's going to be a lot of changes to the Medicare premium starting 2016 that we foresaw years ago, but it's now hitting in a real way a lot of people's pocketbooks coming January on. We are in open...
What kind of...
Well, the
we're looking at
basically a $50 increase in the Part B premiums that's going to be hitting our Medicare recipients across the board nationwide. So for some low-income seniors, that can be a real hit, if you will. And
they can't find the money anywhere else. They have to find it from seniors.
I am not in agreement with a lot of the decisions that our government's making, and I never think that senior programs should be ever taking a financial hit. It's really dangerous to do to our elders. But I can tell you that there are times when some of the Advantage plans that are out there, which, by the way, they used to be called HMOs, and that's another little propaganda. They're now all called Advantage plans. But there are some that can help offset some of the costs that are coming. And then there's some that, you know, clearly, depending on your health history, you wouldn't want to be involved in. So we're going to have some experts on the show to discuss those, because I don't sell insurance. I don't want to sell insurance. But I do work with some brokers that are very knowledgeable about the Medicare changes that are coming up. And that's going to be our second show. The first show is going to be on handling depression through the holiday season. We're starting the week of Thanksgiving. And then the second week, we're going to have Diane Daniels on, who's a Medicare broker, and she's published a book called The Medicare Nation. And she has a podcast called The Medicare Nation. And she's going to be discussing all these changes that are going to be hitting starting in 2016 so that people can be prepared.
And so next week it's about depression?
Yep. Yep. We're having we're going to have Michael Conway on the show. He's a board member for NAMI, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness. The holidays are rough on a lot of people. Anyone who's sustained any kind of losses, sometimes it hits them through the holidays. So he's going to be on to discuss ways to identify depression as it's hitting in a loved one, or ways to avoid it, or what to do if you feel like you're becoming more and more depressed through the holidays, and who's available to reach out to. There's a lot of free resources that are available to help.
Now, one of the things, of course, that you talk in your book is about elder law attorneys. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Elder law is different. It's not like the lawsuits, the lawyers that are ambulance chasers. Elder law is a very specific thing to help manage a person's assets, protect them. It's everything from financial wills, living wills. Living wills are what healthcare professionals are allowed to do to you in an emergency. They provide all of those documents. They provide power of attorney, healthcare surrogates. Elder law attorneys can range in their pricing. And if you have a very small amount of assets, a lot of times you don't need an elder law attorney. But if you have a substantial amount of assets and or a larger family with a lot of members in the family, it's really a good idea to see an elder law attorney to make sure that all of your affairs are in order.
Okay, great. I'm going to take a short break. And we'll be right back. And I have some more questions for you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday jazz brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with eggs benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, it's Mike Riso, one of the professional golf instructors at Clearwater Country Club. Our daily golf tips are here to help you improve your game as simply and quickly as possible. Tune in each morning and we'll have a fresh new golf tip that'll help you with your putting, chipping, pitching, and sand shots and lower your scores at distance and boost your confidence too. Like to play Clearwater Country Club? We're open to the public and afternoon rates start at only $26.95. We're conveniently located on North Petty Lane off Drew Street. For tee times, call the pro shop at 727-461-4188 or find us on the web at clearwatercountryclub.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Karen Riso, who has written a book called Aging in America, Navigating Our Healthcare System. You know, of course, it was just Veterans Day last week, and everyone in this political climate is talking about the problem with Veterans Administration. And now you do quite a bit of work with VA.
I do. Actually, there's a lot of veterans benefits that many of our older population don't understand that they're eligible for. That's very little, it's not really out there educated to them. And it's some programs that can actually pay for long-term care needs.
Well, I've been deeply involved with the pilots of F-105 pilots of the Vietnam War. And I know that they have faced just terrible, terrible treatment.
Mm-hmm. They have.
And they have not been able to get benefits that they deserve. They have faced so many roadblocks and I mean, this is now 50 years on, and these guys are all, you know, beyond 75.
Right.
And it's such a tragedy that they have so many problems.
They were treated the worst. There's no doubt about it. It took years even for the program called Aid in Attendance, which pays for home care and assisted living, to be approved for Vietnam veterans. It's just really a tragedy.
And so you recommend to veterans to get in their right from the beginning and get their rights.
Well, the reason that I always recommend that even if somebody wants to use the outside the VA healthcare system, that they at least enroll, two reasons, because the government budgets so much per head at these hospitals and healthcare systems. So if they don't sign up, then what happens is they'll drop the money that they give. So I always encourage veterans, please, if you're entitled, go to the VA system, enroll in every benefit. They usually have an orientation that they'll do with you so you can find out what benefits you're eligible for, and you can sit with a veteran service officer. But there's other programs that people, even within the system, might not be aware that they are eligible for. So those are the things that the book on veterans benefits really focuses on. Programs like the survivor benefit, the widower's benefit, because many of our women that were married to someone who served in World War One, Korea, or Vietnam are eligible, the spouses are eligible for additional monies that when they need care that they might not always know that they're eligible for. So that's another nugget of resources that can help provide some home care or help provide assisted living when it's needed.
So it's important for a veteran to just register. It helps other veterans. So even if you're going to go to your private doctor and pay for it yourself, you want to help the others, and hopefully in the next administration, people might actually pay attention to the veterans' needs, and we could see some major changes there.
Yeah, I would hope that if we're going to allot military dollars, we can also start including a conversation on allotting the healthcare dollars that are going to be needed to take care of them when they come home.
Because it's so sad we have so many veterans.
We do.
Today. And I know I encourage veterans. One of the things I think helps a veteran either, you know, to for those who are looking for something to do, if they're still not able to work or they have a lot of time on their hands, to start writing, to write a journal, to write a book, not necessarily about what they did, but as a matter of fact, maybe not about what they did. Write a children's book like the woman I just interviewed in the first half hour. You know, there are many things that veterans can do, again, because of the depression thing. They get depressed. And so I always encourage veterans to, you know, try to do something like that.
And sometimes the American Legion activities can help as well, just for a sense of camaraderie. The main thing that we found locally, at least in the Tampa Bay area, is that there's been a significant improvement in the quality of doctors, equipment, practices of specialties at our VA healthcare systems here locally in Tampa and also in Bay Pines. So, you know, a lot of our older veterans, they just remember the MASH units. You know, they don't remember, they haven't been to the VA hospital or the healthcare system, but I can tell you in comparison with the private hospitals and healthcare system, the VA right now has cutting edge equipment and really, really very good doctors. So I always encourage the veterans, if you're eligible, just go down there. It's, you know, it's worth it. Sometimes they provide equipment. They can also provide a counselor if they are struggling with depression, for mental health assistance or substance abuse assistance, things like that.
So veterans can read about your suggestions, and everyone can read about your suggestions and how to navigate the healthcare system. Now, how can they get your book?
They can get it on Amazon, Nook and Kindle, and also at the website, which is agingguidebooknumber1.com. I can't control the pricing on Amazon, but I can control the pricing through the website, agingguidebook1.com. Or if they don't have access to the internet, they can send a $19 check to the P.O. Box made out to Elite Marketing. And that's P.O. Box 7221 Seminole. And the zip code is 33775.
And they can get this book. Because
they can get one.
I suggest that people reach out and get this book. It will help you. It will help you navigate. It's really so complex sometimes that it's overwhelming, and particularly if, you know, when it comes to you suddenly, if you're not prepared. So,
well, the whole goal was to try to prepare in advance as much as possible as a family and even as an individual, so that your rights are protected, so that you are treated with dignity and respect in the healthcare system, and you're not treated like a number.
I like very much the also you. You have all the contact information.
Yes.
Which is very important. It's always hard to start digging around what government website to go to. And you have all of that listed here, all of the
Websites and 800 numbers.
Very, very useful. And I know people will appreciate that because it's a difficult thing when you start searching from and not knowing where to go. So I think that you're going to have a fantastic show, a very popular show, and I'm very glad that you're here now at WTAN and that we'll get to see you every week.
Yes.
And it's just, it's been really fun to meet you.
Yes,
I think
likewise.
That you're going to enjoy it here at the studio, and I will enjoy seeing you here every week. So what, other than, getting your book, now, of course, I do this show also for writers. So when you decided to write your book, you just sat down and started working on it.
No, they had given us computers, like little mini laptops, so that we could be connected to the hospital for all referrals coming out of the hospital 24 hours a day. And I started writing it as a journal. I was angry, extremely angry at the healthcare system. And I started writing down the fights I was having with physicians and insurance companies on a daily basis.
So it's a book that comes from passion.
It came from a lot of passion. And every time I had a bad day, I'd write another chapter. And then when it finally got to my editor, he told me I really needed to tone down the anger, please. make it a little more professionally correct and PC it up a little more. And so it took a few years before the first one came out. And this one went bestseller. So, you know, I was very grateful for that. It's opened up a lot of speaking engagements. And I'm a contributor for a lot of senior newspapers now, including the Senior Voice America locally. So it's been, my passion has been educating families and seniors, because going through 10 years of nursing home work is not what any little girl dreams to do in their life, like ever. And when you see one horrific situation after another, it stays with you. And I found that the families and the seniors that had prepared themselves, had thought ahead, had planned and had a game plan for a rainy day, they seem to go through things a little bit easier and more gracefully.
Okay, well, Karen, it's been wonderful to have you on the program, and I look forward to listening to you every week. And so just thank you again.
Thank you very much for having me, Patsy.
Okay. This is Patsy with a Z, wishing everyone a good week. And I want to thank Big Ed in the control room, because he always does such a great job. And to remember that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. And if you have a passion, like Karen does, write a book, because she's managed to not just write a book, she's managed to turn it into a business. And what's the name of your company?
Elite Marketing.
Elite Marketing. And that's on your website?
Absolutely. Elite Marketing.
Elite Marketing. So write a book, turn it into a business, and next thing you know, you're going to be on the radio. So join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. Have a great week.